Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful for your word, thankful for your grace to us. We know that it takes a consistent walk, a daily Christian life that we have to live, and we just pray that we can continue on the right path, continue to make right decisions. And we know that you're always there to pick us up when we fall. We thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So we left off here talking about doing everything possible to stand firm. And we saw that the only reason we can actually do that is because of God actually doing the work. So it's kind of relaxing to know that you can actually do things where you have no regrets. That's a big deal, especially when you're trying to do things right. We all want to do things right, and we do things in a right way, and do things that glorify God. And David is a perfect example of doing that, and he, it's so spectacular. But it just goes to show you the power of God. You know, there's so many details that could have, changed the situation, could have changed, thrown everything off. When you think about where that stone hit, when you think about how he fell, when you think about, the sword, whose sword he used, the fact that he was even wearing a sword, all these things come into play, but God takes care of all those details. And that applies even when we are around people. You know, that we can't make these things happen on our own, just like David couldn't make that happen on his own. And I was reminded about, opportunities sometimes that we look for really hard when it comes to an open door about talking to someone about something related to God. A lot of times we desire that so bad and we seek that, but you know what? We don't have to worry about that. We just have to realize that God's in control of the situation, and if he wants us to do that, he will provide the opportunity for that. And not only will he provide it, if we allow him to work like David allowed him to work, he will make everything happen the way, not only the way it's supposed to happen, but in the time that it's supposed to happen. And there's no regrets in that. David can, just like I said, David can look back and say, you know what? There was nothing I could have said, nothing else I could have done that wasn't how it was done or said when I did it. So that's just God's amazing power. But it does take some decision making on your own, on your end. Remember that participation here, the middle voice. To bring about a result does take a human being. God working through that. You know, we're not the result, but we know who is the result and the accomplishment here. So, and part of that we said is just making right decisions towards obedience to God's word. We just have to step out of God's way. So, opportunities. You know, as we talk about these things, opportunities, I kind of said a couple times that we have to step out of God's way. You know, that can mean a lot of things. There's so many things that come to my mind when I think of how can I put myself in front of God from preventing him from doing the spectacular. By spectacular, I mean, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be cutting anybody's head off. But it can mean that you can witness. It can mean that you can be in a place where you're outnumbered by evil, and God can work the circumstances to your benefit and his glory. There's a lot of situations that we find ourselves in that we have to say the right thing, the exact right thing in order to change a mind. And we don't know what that is. You know, we don't know what that is, but God does. And that's why the Holy Spirit is required. Because when you're filled by the Holy Spirit, you're also guided by the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's God's power. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to bring things to your mind. That's not an accident. You know, all when you think about stepping out of the way, you have to think about the entire process. From providing the situation to what you're going to say to what you're going to wear. All the way to everything. We've got to just, like I said, surrender. Surrender in to God and letting Him work in our lives. So I wanted to just list a few of those things that can get in the way. What gets in God's way? And what keeps us from Him using us in these David ways? One of them is ego. Pride. Sometimes we get to thinking that we are good at something because maybe we've been doing it a while, we've gotten better at it, or maybe because you've accomplished something. We get sidetracked by other people. We get our eyes on other people. We can be concerned about what they think more than what we're doing within the plan of God, more than the larger mission here. And that's a very slight distraction, but look how minor it is where we step in God's way. You know, if we're concerned about what they think, the mission is hampered. We're cutting ourselves short because we're not allowing the full use of yourself that God can give you. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to be free-flowing in this process. We don't want to have something like worry that comes into play and completely just tosses everything off. But see how subtle it can be. If God's going to use us, He's going to use us in the right way. And that's not the right way, but it's very minor. But it's still, look how large of a thing that can cost us. It can cost us a situation where we could have said or done the right thing in that situation otherwise, right? So we get distracted from the mission in that sense. Being out of fellowship. Being out of fellowship. How big is that? It's huge. Anytime you go into a situation, I mean, this is something that should always be on our mind, is we've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit in any situation. In you know, witnessing, in being an example, in encouraging others, we have to be in that cleansed frame of reference. Cleansed from all unrighteousness, just as the verse tells us. Satan knows what he's doing in this area. You know, a lot of people don't even pay this any attention. And that's why God isn't using a lot of people in these great and spectacular ways. Because they've completely removed this part out of the equation. There's so many people, you know, just wondering why God is not using them. It's because they don't want to, well, it's either because they don't want to acknowledge their sins before God, or it's just because they aren't consistent enough at doing it. You've got to be consistent. You know, you don't want to show up without any ammo. But notice in all these things, God cannot use us in the ways that he wants to, and even the ways that we desire. We desire to be used in these ways. But at the same time, I think every one of us can work in this area. Because we've all experienced these things. You believe it or not, you've all experienced the David moments where things just line up. You said the right thing. You did the right thing. Things just flowed. And when you get a taste of that, guess what? That's where it's at. That wasn't you. That was God working through you, is what that was. And that's where we want to be in every single case. We want to be that so we can look back and say, there is no regrets because it wasn't me. Yeah, God was using me, is what that was about. So we all have work here because, you know, anything, any little slight nuance of that situation can completely throw it off. Whether it's minor or major, He can't use those things. So there's definitely something to say in making the right necessary decisions that demonstrate humility, big one, love, and obedience to God. Notice all these come into play when things are lined up. Humility, love, your response to God, thinking about Him in a situation and not necessarily the individual per se, but God first. You know that this is a God mission, a God objective that you have. And see, the mindset is completely different, and you're not stressed out because of the person. You're not worried because of what they might say or worried about what if I don't have the right words to say. There's so many things that can easily throw us off. But that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for complete and total reliance. And then that's when He brings about the complete and total solution. And so, you know, the scripture uses the word blameless, and it refers to believers. Some people translate it as perfect. I think that can apply, but, you know, I think it gets kind of twisted in a way that people think they can grow to a perfect state without sinning, and that's definitely not what it means. But these are the moments that I'm referring to that we've been talking about. There's a time when God works in our life, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you are blameless because you're in a righteous state because you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, and God can actually use you. So you can look at it as intermittent times in your life where there is perfection. There's no sin in your on your mind or unconfessed sin in your soul. And these are that's why the scripture can use blameless and direct it to the Christian way of life. So, and that, you know, it kind of makes sense when you think about it, because when God's doing everything, nothing to be blamed for, is there? When you step back, you've taken the ego, the pride, the whatever sin that we may hinder Him by, who's there to blame? Well, if we want to blame someone, we can blame God, but guess what? There's nothing that He did wrong, right? That's what this means by having done everything to stand. In other words, you can do nothing more to stand because you've let God do everything. So, and having done here is, it just means to put God's power into effect and to bring about that result of accomplishment that glorifies Him. That's what having done means. You've flipped that switch and watched, and that's where that happens. It really is just the application, right? You always say, how do I apply this? How do I apply this? That's where the faith, remember, the faith always links, it bridges the gap between the word and life is faith. You take it from the word and you believe it and you trust it and you think with it and you live it and then you apply it. That's the application. That's how it works in our life. And it's really the only thing that accomplishes anything in the perfect and eternal sense that we're all looking for. We want to do things right, but we want to do them God's way at the same time. So if we want these David opportunities, it requires an understanding that God gets us there. He gets us to the step. He gets us to the point where we can be used. He gets us there. He gives us the spiritual food to be able to accomplish His will, which is all a spiritual application of humility. It's about humility and realizing who you are in God's plan. So important. Humility. It's actually mandatory, isn't it? Isn't there a verse that says that? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. This is what we've been talking about right here. This isn't necessarily a position in a career type of exaltation. This is a use you in spectacular ways exaltation as well. It doesn't matter. A promotion is a promotion. An exaltation And here it means to raise or lift up, to make great, is what this word means. To promote. And when we're talking about doing, serving in God's ministry in some type of service in these great ways, this is making great. I mean, you know, just look back in history. You can see these great evangelists, these great preachers, ministers. They fully surrendered and allowed God to use them. That wasn't because of something they did to attract thousands of people. They didn't hinder God working in their life, and He's the one who made that happen. It's exactly how that works, is God works out the details. So we must have the proper amount of humility to be humble enough to handle the David moments. That's a big deal. That's a big part of this. Remember, you should be thinking capacity. I got to have the capacity to even handle the David moments. You know? I mean, it takes a lot. It's all 100% application in those things to handle great tests and opportunities that God has for us. You don't want it unless you can handle it, is what I'm trying to tell you. You don't want it. You don't want to go and get into a situation and fail. That's what we don't want. So at the same time, you know, we want the opportunities, but look what it takes. It takes that dedication, that consistency, willingness. And naturally, look what the next verse says of the same thing, verse 7. Look what follows. These two can't be separated. Casting all your cares or anxiety on Him because He cares for you. There's promotion. There's making great. That's kind of what hinders us right there, isn't it? Here's another one of those ones we just pull out one verse. But look what the context is. Exaltation. Promotion, worry is what, that's how we step in God's way right here. This is it. He can't make you great if we're worried about everything. That's distraction. It's distracted from the focus of God's word. You're either worrying or you're applying. There's no in between there. You're either worried or you're trusting in God. See how the difference is black and white? No in between. Worry is really just a subtle form of arrogance. And then Ephesians 6:14 says, therefore stand firm, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So now we're getting into the armor. Finally made it here. So you can see this starts off with a therefore, which is kind of indicating a slight transition in the text, right? Therefore. Usually a conclusion, how this is normally used. I don't think it's necessarily a conclusion. It is sort of a conclusion, but it's saying that if everything is going to be done, then we've got to follow this command. Therefore, stand firm. Which we've talked about, actually. We've seen this word. Do you see it? Histeme. This word is actually in verses 11, 13, and now 14. But this one's a little bit different because, remember, it means to make a stand or to stand. This one's a little bit different because what is it? An imperative. So we had a couple, stand firm, and now we have the imperative here. Therefore, command. So it is kind of a conclusion in a way, but it's also kind of logical in the flow of the text, right? And there's a slight difference in just standing and being commanded to stand. One of the differences, I think, is endurance. When you're commanded to stand, you stand no matter what. That's the difference. There's an endurance aspect that goes with this, that you can stand not because of the environment, It's because it's that direct order is linked to God and His authority. So the standing, your motivation is from that and that alone. That's how you can persevere, per se, in God's Word. It's really because of that love and that trust that you have for God that, by the way, He has for you too. So endurance, you could say withstand. Actually, another how this word is translated as well. And I do think endurance is with each one of these that we've seen. But the imperative, I feel like, brings it out, because if we're going to follow it, we have to endure in order to stand in the devil's world. And just endurance, when you think about endurance, what does it mean? Not giving up. Not stopping. Not throwing your hands up and taking a seat. Spiritual seat, per se. And we've talked some about that. And I think it also means having courage. Having courage. That's that confidence. Courage. Courage is the state or quality of mind that enables one to face adversity and evil. That's what I mean when I say courage. It means confidence, resolution, bravery. We need Christians that are confident. We need Christians that are brave in situations. Why? Because they're comfortable with what they have been given in the situation they've been given it. Guess what? There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to worry about in that situation. Because you, up to that point, remember, God knows what you have. He knows you have the training. He's not going to put you in a situation without the training. So you don't even have to worry about, will I be prepared? That's not even an issue. Part of trusting is trusting God even when the situation is timed correctly. So courage. God gives us the means to have these qualities while standing. In the next verse, or next, you can see how we can think this way. Look what it says. Having girded your loins with truth. There it is, right there. The word girded is perizunomi, and it's a verb, aorist middle participle. We keep seeing these aorist middle participles. It consists of the preposition peri, which means around, and then you have zonumi, which means to gird, or it could be just simply as something to put around. Or it could be a belt, could be a sash. We think of the women's girdles that hold everything together. They actually look kind of comfortable, don't they? But they fasten around them and they hold all everything there. So, but this, it was a good invention, I think. So the Roman soldiers, we know that Paul is referring this back to the Roman soldier, right? And when he's talking about girding your loins with truth, this is a direct reference to the Roman soldier's belt, which was probably, if not the most important piece of equipment on the Roman soldier, because it held, what did it hold? It held his sword, it held his rations, it held other equipment. It was something that he never went to war without. It was part of the uniform, right? When I think that something's part of the uniform, in the military, if you don't have that part, you're out of uniform. If you're missing a button, you're out of uniform. You get in trouble for that. Well, they didn't leave without their belt. Very important to them. Everything, in other words, everything has a purpose and a good reason for being there. A similar comparison to a Roman belt might be a police officer's belt. Guess what? They can't do their job without that belt. Think about all the things that are on a belt. These are just some of the ones I thought of. I've probably been missing some. A gun, extra ammo, handcuffs, pepper spray, taser, a baton, flashlight, a radio. That's a lot of stuff. And there's probably more, to be honest with you. Just the belt alone, that's how they do everything. How they do everything. Everything is on the belt. So in order to get ready for work and be fully prepared, what do? They've got to put on their belt. They have to put on their belt. It's no different with us. It's no different with the Roman soldier. It's no different with the police officer. Or else they're pretty useless, you could say. They might as well go home. Some translations say having fastened on the belt of truth, which fits well here. It fits very well here. So the idea is preparation for battle by putting on something that is critically necessary. That's the point. It's so critically necessary that we can't leave home without it. And what is our belt? Truth. The Word of God. Look at there. The Word. There's every single weapon you can ever imagine. Equipping, preparation from the truth. The word is aletheia. You've heard that before. It's not just any truth, like telling the truth. This is God's truth. This is God's Word. This is the truth of God. The mind of Christ, we could call it, or His Word calls it. And that's what prepares us for life, for testing, for capacity to be able to handle adversity and prosperity, for relationships. I mean, you name it. The truth prepares us for everything that we come into contact with, the Word. And what else? For the courage and contentment necessary to stand against the schemes of the devil. Without a doubt, the truth. The truth of God's Word. You know, it's interesting. Rex just came home from school the other day and mentioned that the teacher was teaching the Big Bang Theory like it was truth. Like it was truth. And, you know, a lot of those kids don't have any frame of reference and they believe that. But think about that. That's where Satan is starting. Way back there. Infiltrated and started way back there in the innocence of a child. You know, and I was kind of laughing because Rex said, I told him it wasn't true. And the teacher told him, we keep those things to ourselves. Now, that's just a small example. But doesn't that apply to us as well? If we're equipped with what is right and what is true according to God's Word, we can defend against it. We can recognize it and we can say, no. Or, I'm going to make a decision based on this. And of course, then it opened up a door to allow us to talk about it, right? There's your opportunity to talk about it. But see, one of the things that I told him was, that's just the start. You're going to keep having teachers, professors, college, seminary, whatever you do, they're going to keep telling you false things. So get ready. That's just the beginning, right? But if we are equipped enough to we can see things that are right and true and know what is false, that's 99% of the battle right there. Because if you can recognize, see, one of big Satan, what he loves to do is to get it past you without recognition. If he can get it past you without recognizing, then it's on a completely different level. But if you recognize it before it even comes into your mind, before you even think about it, you compare it against that truth, against the Word of God, and if it fails, it doesn't stand up, that's when you know it's false. And that's why this is number one here in the Scripture, truth. It's the first thing that we're rolling into this with, the belt of truth. We've got to prepare ourselves with truth because it prepares us for everything. And, you know, in his case, in this case, this is just from knowing the truth of one verse. One verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One verse shot that down. That's just the power of God's word. Now, whether you choose to believe it is a different story. But you see what I mean? We know that it's true. We know that it's absolute because we believe in the God who we serve and we know He's real. So what that tells me is this applies the same way to Him as it did to us. And we've got to have the truth necessary in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. Because you know what? We might need that one verse. We might need this one verse that talks about truth first and relying on God's power totally and completely because God wants to use you. And we're all getting to points in our life where we need to start being used more and more and more. And I'm talking about in these big ways. And if we want to look back with no regrets, we've got to think about stuff like this. We have to. Especially in Satan's world, right? Got to. That's why Satan loves ignorant believers. Because they're not prepared to recognize his tactics, his lies. They're just not prepared. They don't have that belt on. It's not secured. Which means they fall for them. And that's why we can follow the command to stand. Because we know better. We've got to know better. It's a hazard otherwise if we don't. We have to. We got to follow it. And these are really the only two options I see here when it comes to spiritual warfare. To stand in the light, which we talked about, or to fall in the darkness. That's kind of what it's all about, isn't it? Stand in the light or fall in the darkness from not being prepared in truth. So the belt here, the belt of truth is about readiness of the Christian. And it's why it is mentioned as the very first item to put around us securely. If your belt isn't secure, you usually have some issues, don't you? Your pants might fall off, right? I don't know. I've gotten into the habit where I wear a belt all the time, whether I need it or not. I don't know why. It's just something. It's just part of my. I don't know. It's just part of me. I just wear a belt. I don't know. But that's how we need to think about truth. We need to think about truth in that way that we just. It's part of the uniform. It's part of what we do and who we are as Christians. We shouldn't feel right without it. Is what I mean. You should feel your pants falling down if you don't have your belt on. In the Word, a lot of people don't feel that, or they just don't want to address it. One of the two. And then we have, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the Word, let me see if I gave you. So you see the word breastplate here? It's thorax. Isn't that cool? It's our same English word for thorax, which is the, you know, the rib cage, the surrounding area. Of course, here, the Greek word means is a protective covering for the chest in combat, which is the breastplate. You're used to seeing the metal breastplate that the Roman soldiers wear. Of course, this isn't a physical breastplate, but one made of righteousness. Dikaiosune, you're all familiar with that word, righteousness. Notice that we had the same word to put on. Look, remember this verb put on in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And where did we go from there? You remember put on the armor of light. Do you remember this? God took us to a place to where we were putting on, clothing ourselves with this armor, and it took us to this verse that talked about the armor of light. The night is almost gone and the day is near, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And that's when we started talking about at length what the light was referring to. You remember specifically? That was walking in the light, which is what? Walking in righteousness. Remember? And that was from being cleansed from all unrighteousness. So this has a direct reference to confession, walking. The filling of the Holy Spirit. And remember that put on meant to clothe yourselves with, which is what? Something we do every day. That's why the verb is here. It's not something that is a one-time deal. It's something that we do daily. Actually, twice a day. You get in your day clothes, you get in your night clothes, don't you? Yeah. So it's something that happens often, is what I'm trying to say. So when we see this right here, clothing ourselves in a protective armor that consists of God's righteousness, this is the same thing as preparing to our walking in the light, isn't it? Yes, it is. You shouldn't be surprised as well that the same two things that we were kept seeing earlier, knowledge of truth and power, are right here in our verse. Sorry. Knowledge of truth. Here we go. The belt of truth. There's your knowledge of truth. And where's the power? Righteousness. You know, I've seen people translate this to mean salvation, righteousness. You don't need to put on a breastplate of righteousness if you're already saved. This is a verb of clothing yourself a daily. That's why the verb is a day, something you do twice a day. You clothe yourselves. Guess how many times we confess? Multiple times a day. We should be. Even if we don't need to, we still should do it. Just go through it. It's like repetition in your mind. So, same thing. There's our theme. Knowledge of the truth and power. What is that knowledge based off of? Your intake of God's word. And now we're seeing the power, which is God's righteousness, when it comes to our daily walk empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I don't think it's really an accident that two verses after this one, speaking about the armor of light, look what we have. It shouldn't surprise you, really. No. Yeah, 14 on the bottom. See it? It says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in the regard to its lust." Sin is always in the context when we're talking about putting on these kind of things. Walking in the light. Putting on righteousness. Putting walking in righteousness. All that sin is always somewhere around in the context, and it's no different here. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So you can see what we need to do. And then here we have having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I think I'm going to wait on this one, just because we have a meeting and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about Roman boots, which kind of I think it's kind of interesting. If you're into shoes, if you're into how they're constructed, this is interesting. So we'll get to that next time. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for just everything that you're doing in our lives. We know that there's always a purpose, a reason, a plan. And we just pray that you can continue to guide us and that we can stay faithful to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.